Pruebas de certificación de Castilla-La Mancha. Escucharás el audio dos veces. Dispones de dos minutos para leer la tarea. Un minuto entre escuchas. Un minuto al finalizar la segunda escucha. Tarea 1.
Zero.
Our minds are some of the busiest places in the known universe. What can help our troubles is self-exploration. We frequently don't stop to ask ourselves what we're truly worried about. This sounds odd. Surely, if we're worried, we would be expected to pause rather quickly and explore why. But our minds seem not to work in this supremely logical-sounding way. They feel anxious long before they're ever motivated to ask themselves why they might be so. They can carry on for months, even years, under the fog of diffuse concern before setting themselves the challenge of zeroing in on what is really at stake. We often use one worry to shield us from another. We worry about an upcoming interview to protect us from worrying about the state of our relationship. We worry about money in order not to worry about death. What worry might lie behind the worry that is currently obsessing?
One.
We can make a generalization. We go around being far braver than is good for us. Because we need to get on with the practicalities of the day, we frequently push to the side all the slights, hurts, disappointments, and griefs that flow through our river of consciousness. We choose not to notice how vulnerable we are for fear that we cannot afford our own sensitivity. But stoicism and strength carry their own dangers. With the help of this question, we should give time to noticing that despite our competent and strong exteriors, lots of smaller and larger things have managed to hurt us today, like every day. Perhaps someone didn't laugh when we told a joke, a friend didn't call, a senior figure at work was less than completely impressed. We don't need to mock ourselves. We aren't weaklings for being fragile. In fact, there is no clearer evidence of our maturity than our capacity to explore the ways in which we, like everyone else on the planet, are as sensitive and easily bruised as a child.
Two.
We're attached to the norms of civilization. It upsets us to think we might be upset. Nevertheless, here too, we need to have the courage of our actual sensitivity. No day goes by without someone annoying us in some rather fundamental way, usually without them in any way meaning to. Our spirits will be lighter if we can bring ourselves to spell out the injury. What happened? How did it make us feel? What might we tell ourselves to re-find equilibrium? If we were lucky, we used to do this sort of thing with a kindly parent when we returned home from school. Now, as careful guardians to ourselves, we can internalize the process and use our inner adult to soothe the always easily flustered, but also easily calmed, inner child.
3.
Much of what we feel but don't process has a habit of ending up in our bodies. That's why we develop backache, tense shoulders, knotted stomachs, and fluttery hearts. In order to live more easily around our bodies, we should regularly drain them of the emotions that they have unfairly been burdened with. We should mentally scan our bodies from top to toe and ask ourselves what each organ might require. What do my shoulders want to tell me? What does my back need? What do my legs crave? The questions may sound strange. What is surprising is that we're likely to have some very concrete answers just waiting for us when we ask.
4.
Despite so much that's difficult, every day brings us up against a range of things that still delight and enchant us. Often these elements are small, the light on the kitchen wall in the morning, a fig we had at lunchtime. These might not sound like things we should bother to register, but summoned up in their full richness and held in our attention for a few moments, they can help to fortify us against the voices of despair. We tend to assume that if something is lovely, it will strike our minds as being so, with full force, without us needing to do anything supplementary. The reality is stranger. We need to make a conscious effort to squeeze joy out of beneficial elements that might otherwise be forgotten without notice. Our lives have some lovely aspects to them, but we may, surprisingly, regularly and rather clumsily, have to make a list of them in order to realize that they exist. When Socrates, apparently the wisest man of antiquity, was asked to define our highest purpose as human beings, he offered a still legendary answer: to know ourselves. We should aspire to be people who never cease to try to make sense of themselves at the close of every day. We should devote ourselves constantly to trying to shrink the scale of the darkness within us, bringing what was once in shadow closer to the light of interpretation, so that we stand a chance of becoming slightly less frantic and rather more joyful, creative, and calm creatures.
Zero.
Our minds are some of the busiest places in the known universe. What can help our troubles is self-exploration. We frequently don't stop to ask ourselves what we're truly worried about. This sounds odd. Surely, if we're worried, we would be expected to pause rather quickly and explore why. But our minds seem not to work in this supremely logical-sounding way. They feel anxious long before they're ever motivated to ask themselves why they might be so. They can carry on for months, even years, under the fog of diffuse concern before setting themselves the challenge of zeroing in on what is really at stake. We often use one worry to shield us from another. We worry about an upcoming interview to protect us from worrying about the state of our relationship. We worry about money in order not to worry about death. what worry might lie behind the worry that is currently obsessing.
1.
We can make a generalization. We go around being far braver than is good for us. Because we need to get on with the practicalities of the day, we frequently push to the side all the slights, hurts, disappointments, and griefs that flow through our river of consciousness. We choose not to notice how vulnerable we are for fear that we cannot afford our own sensitivity. But stoicism and strength carry their own dangers. With the help of this question, we should give time to noticing that despite our competent and strong exteriors, lots of smaller and larger things have managed to hurt us today, like every day. Perhaps someone didn't laugh when we told a joke, a friend didn't call, a senior figure at work was less than completely impressed. We don't need to mock ourselves. We aren't weaklings for being fragile. In fact, there is no clearer evidence of our maturity than our capacity to explore the ways in which we, like everyone else on the planet, are as sensitive and easily bruised as a child.
2.
We're attached to the norms of civilization. It upsets us to think we might be upset. Nevertheless, here too, we need to have the courage of our actual sensitivity. No day goes by without someone annoying us in some rather fundamental way, usually without them in any way meaning to. Our spirits will be lighter if we can bring ourselves to spell out the injury. What happened? How did it make us feel? What might we tell ourselves to re-find equilibrium? If we were lucky, we used to do this sort of thing with a kindly parent when we returned home from school. Now, as careful guardians to ourselves, we can internalize the process and use our inner adult to soothe the always easily flustered, but also easily calmed, inner child.
3.
Much of what we feel but don't process has a habit of ending up in our bodies. That's why we develop backache, tense shoulders, knotted stomachs, and fluttery hearts. In order to live more easily around our bodies, we should regularly drain them of the emotions that they have unfairly been burdened with. We should mentally scan our bodies from top to toe and ask ourselves what each organ might require. What do my shoulders want to tell me? What does my back need? What do my legs crave? The questions may sound strange. What is surprising is that we're likely to have some very concrete answers just waiting for us when we ask.
4.
Despite so much that's difficult, every day brings us up against a range of things that still delight and enchant us. Often these elements are small, the light on the kitchen wall in the morning, a fig we had at lunchtime. These might not sound like things we should bother to register, but summoned up in their full richness and held in our attention for a few moments, they can help to fortify us against the voices of despair. We tend to assume that if something is lovely, it will strike our minds as being so, with full force, without us needing to do anything supplementary. The reality is stranger. We need to make a conscious effort to squeeze joy out of beneficial elements that might otherwise be forgotten without notice. Our lives have some lovely aspects to them, but we may, surprisingly, regularly and rather clumsily, have to make a list of them in order to realize that they exist. When Socrates, apparently the wisest man of antiquity, was asked to define our highest purpose as human beings, he offered a still legendary answer: to know ourselves. We should aspire to be people who never cease to try to make sense of themselves at the close of every day. We should devote ourselves constantly to trying to shrink the scale of the darkness within us, bringing what was once in shadow closer to the light of interpretation, so that we stand a chance of becoming slightly less frantic and rather more joyful, creative, and calm creatures.